Dear listener, hello and welcome to In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
Hello, and I'm Julio Ricardo Varela, and this is ITT Sound Off.
We're laughing because if we don't laugh, we gonna start crying. Ay, Dios mío. You guys, before we kick off today's show, tonight is the 8th Democratic debate in New Hampshire, ahead of that state's primary, where we hope to actually get results in a timely fashion that can be trusted. Julio, you're going to be on the ground at the debate on Friday night, right?
Yeah. I'm heading up to Manchester, New Hampshire. So for those of you who usually expect to follow In the Thick's live tweets, right, the live tweets that the team does so well, we're actually going to cover the debate a little bit differently. I'm going to be at the debate in New Hampshire live tweeting. So you're going to get all my hot takes, my power rankings, which have become an In the Thick tradition. So follow me on Twitter tonight at Julito77.
You guys, also one quick thing, ITT family, please, out there, you know that the New Hampshire primary is on Tuesday. So we're going to be dropping next week's show Monday evening. Boom, boom.
Yes.
Okay. So get your head straight on that. So we usually drop on Tuesdays. You know that. We're going to drop on Monday evening because we're going to include that reporting that Julio is going to be doing on Friday night. But let's get to our first topic. Okay, Julio at one point had hopes. I never did.
It's gone.
But the impeachment trial wrapped. Drum roll. And actually, let's get a drum roll. The Senate voted to acquit President Trump on both charges of obstruction to Congress and abuse of power. You know, they were basically partisan except for Senator Mitt Romney. I actually tweeted this out, Julio, because I came home and suddenly Mitt Romney was on television. And my husband, my son and I, we just stopped dead cold and watched him speak. And I was like, this is the first time in our family that we have stopped like dead cold silent to listen to something that Mitt Romney had to say. But, you know, it's been pretty intense because the fury from Trump has been very quick and quite clear, which is making a lot of us feel all kinds of feelings. And I don't even want to like give them that power, but okay. He spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C., like attacking Democrats, basically flaunting his acquittal. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, he gave a more formal speech at the White House.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if it's a formal speech. It was definitely on state-run television.
It was weird.
At the White House on Thursday, right?
It was weird.
We first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit. We then went through the Mueller report, and they should have come back one day later. They didn't. They came back 2 years later, after lives were ruined, after people went bankrupt, after people lost all their money.
So we're going to get to some other stuff about speeches, you know, regarding also the state of the disunion later in the show. But meanwhile, the latest Gallup polls, I don't understand this country. 75% of the people said that they wanted to see witnesses in the impeachment, 75% of the American public. But at the same time, now Trump's approval rating has risen to 49%, which is the highest of his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really, I don't know, Julio. I said to my students, y'all feeling discombobulated much? And they were all like, yes.
Yeah.
Talk me down, Julio? Question mark?
I'm going to try, Maria. You mentioned Romney. The image of you, Raul, and Hedman being eerily silent in a New York City Harlem apartment, that needed to be a documentary, so I'm going to say that. But Romney, just for people to know, he was the first senator to ever vote to convict a president from his own party. Like, that's in the history of the United States. Mitt Romney, I'm based in Massachusetts, was former governor of Massachusetts. And actually, my sister,
yes.
Now that we're talking about family, my sister used to work at Bain and actually used to take his calls when he was running for president. She told me he's the nicest man ever. So he has a reputation for being a very nice person.
Well, I think he was perceived as being very nice, but clueless, sadly, just kind of.
Yeah. But I thought it was a moment. And I think, you know, already he's getting shat on. Can I just say one thing about Thursday about Trump?
Yes.
I tweeted about this too, Maria. This is how it felt to me. First of all, Donald Trump is not into Latin American dictators, right? He's not into Nicolas Maduro or other places. I actually felt like I was watching Nicolas Maduro on state-run television. You know when Nicolas Maduro on Venezuela, like,
yes,
goes and does and dances salsa and he talks for an hour, or even like, that's how it felt.
Yes.
It felt like I was watching state-run TV and Trump was like thanking everyone. It looked like a bad high school sports banquet where everyone needs to get acknowledged. It was so bad. I do think that the outlets that cut it off, and there were a couple, I know my public radio station in Boston did the right thing, but stop normalizing this.
Right.
This is ridiculous. That's the part. I think the approval ratings are because of the normalization of this, Maria. I don't know what you think, but I do think that that's part of this.
But of course, this is what we've been arguing against the whole time. And specifically regarding Romney, and this, I think, is what many of our listeners feel, which is the breaking of international law by caging children was kind of one of the first, like there were other instances, you know, Trump's dialogued around women and assaulting women. So for us, the breaking of the law has happened already a long time ago.
Several times.
Which is why when Romney basically does this interesting thing, but we don't forget about the fact that, you know, he still supports Trump.
Yeah.
He still supports Trump's policies. And that basically he just is like, you know, he was wrong here, which leaves a lot of us feeling like, you know, who are we going to turn to?
Yeah.
Who are we going to turn to be protected? And this notion of a minority has, you know, cleared this man and we are all feeling very unprotected is for real. Because it begins to feel like I don't want Donald Trump walking down Fifth Avenue with an armed weapon.
But I will say one thing, last thing about Romney, I know people have raised immense profiles and courage, but let's be real as well. He's not up for re-election until 2024. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate to be cynical, but there is a part of me there. I do think there's always politics involved.
Well, look, if he really wanted to mess things up for Trump, he would run as an independent. He would leave the Republican Party and run as an independent.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another story. I can't believe we spent all this time talking about Mitt Romney. What the hell? Okay.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. This is what we're doing in the thick. But listen, let's go on to our second topic. Oh, Maria, it's going to be about the Democratic primary season. Let's start with Iowa. I cannot believe that we're still talking about Iowa on a Friday in the thick sound off 4 days after.
It's like, are we in some kind of horrible movie and we're just kind of playing the role and they're like, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, let me just update people on what has happened, right? 99% of the results have come in. There's still one precinct still missing. But now let's get all geeky. We did the caucus chaos ITT earlier this week where we talked about whether the caucus is the right viable thing. But anyway, let me put on my electoral reporting hat. This is where we are in terms of state delegate equivalents. Mayor Pete Buttigieg has a narrow lead and it's less than 0.1%.
Damn.
Right? So that's number one. I mean, so it's essentially a tie with Bernie Sanders. In terms of the national delegates, that's what you get to win the nomination. This is where I say it's a tie. Both Buttigieg and Sanders are getting 11 each.
Damn.
So nothing has changed from what we said on ITT when I did sort of like do ITT update before we go into the conversation. But Sanders also got the most popular vote. So he's leading the popular vote. And he used that to claim victory on Thursday when he was at a press conference in New Hampshire.
Mayor Pete's been declaring a win for days now. Why should people believe your victory speech over his?
Because I got 6,000 more votes. And from where I come, when you get 6,000 more votes, that's generally regarded to be the winner.
Okay, but then Buttigieg, he also again claimed victory on Twitter. Then on Thursday, Tom Perez, who's the chair of the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, he tweeted calling for the Iowa Democratic Party to do a re-canvassing of the caucus because of minor reporting issues, and I'm quoting that, which basically means to go check over each precinct site, the math on reporting delegates. Then, Maria, this is the one that I am just going to sit back. Anyone who's a journalist geek will understand how huge what I'm going to say next is.
Yeah, no, this was like, it was like, bing, 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 bing.
The Associated Press, who is basically the gold standard of election reporting in the United States in terms of calling elections, they went on record Thursday night and they said they're not declaring any winner of this race because how close the race is and the errors in reporting. Iowa is a total shit show. It's definitely not a promising sign for what's happening in New Hampshire with the first primary, which is happening on Tuesday. Maria.
Now you have to talk me off the ledge.
Well, you know, I think about the fact that, first of all, I don't remember if I said it publicly or not, because I don't like to make predictions, but I did say, I called it for myself, that Buttigieg was going to win. And even though it is a tie, I still think he has a slight edge going into New Hampshire, which in terms of the polling that's coming out now.
I'm going to step back for a second, but remember, Bernie Sanders is from Vermont, and he won New Hampshire 4 years ago.
Okay. Thank you, reality check.
I actually expect Bernie Sanders to win. Just because he borders a state and it's New England. That's all the reason I think Bernie Sanders is going to win.
Okay. It was just because I'm like, hey, Maria, you got to... Because I also predicted that Trump was going to win. I'm just saying. Okay, anyway. But when you see this thing of like, you know, Buttigieg saying, I won, and Sanders saying, I won. And I'm just like, oh, here we are in 2020 with two white men, one older, one younger, basically having a pissing match of their like entitlement. And they're like, I'm such a badass that I'm going to declare myself a winner. I have no humility. I'm not even going to doubt this. And meanwhile, they're like, it's me. I want. And then meanwhile, you open up and you're just like, oh, and the Oscars are all white men. And you're like, this is great to live in the United States of America in the year 2020.
And it's not been a good week for Democrats. Let's be honest.
It's so upsetting. It's like, what the hell, you guys? Come on. Like, you know, I'm one of the Democrats' greatest critics because I'm a critic of the Republicans and I'm a critic of everybody. But I mean, did they not think about this, Julio? Talk to me about designing an app and like testing it and making triple sure that it doesn't. Or are they just irresponsible?
They fucked up. There's no other way to put it. And I think it's a bad way to start. I think it freaks people out of this notion of whether elections are fair. I mean, you know me, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm the most skeptical person about Russia election, but it's like, come on, Democrats, you're feeding into this. I will say one more thing about this, Maria, that people are not talking about. Everyone's focusing on Joe Biden finishing fourth and really not performing well at all. And he has to really deliver in New Hampshire. I don't think Joe Biden's going to last. That's my prediction.
Yeah, agreed.
But I will say one thing.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, come on. She finished in third. She's a woman. There's this whole notion of like, can she beat Trump because the electability thing? I do think this whole notion of the white man versus even the white woman is an issue in this primary. And you just got to step back for a second. It's like Elizabeth Warren almost got like 20% of the vote in Iowa as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens in New Hampshire. I'm looking forward to the Friday debate because I actually think that Biden is going to go hard. We're going to see like angry Joe Biden. That's my prediction.
Yikes. It doesn't always play well for him.
I know.
I actually think that soft and forgiving, you know, in other words, asking for forgiveness for all the things that he's done wrong. To be clear, Mike Bloomberg has made a decision that he's not campaigning in any of the first primary states, but he's just going after Super Tuesday.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, he's got ads playing in all of those states in a big way. And if you watch cable news, they're playing on the cable news as well.
Yeah.
And his ads are going after hardcore. They're going after the African-American vote, which I think is really smart because no other candidate is doing it like he is.
Yeah, he's like mayor of New York. He knows.
Right. And also, the fact that he's like apologized for shit, I think it separates him. So I'm just saying.
No, but I think the Bloomberg point, Maria, there will be a Bloomberg factor. And I personally think it might even happen after the conventions. And you might see Mike Bloomberg just run until Election Day. Just saying. I think you're right.
Here's the thing. I think at this point, Bloomberg having a certain amount of distance from the Democratic Party apparatus actually serves him well.
It's a smart move.
Because the Democratic Party apparatus right now has lost a lot of trust in people. I'm not saying that that means they're not going to vote Democratic, but that the whole everything about it has lost. And Bloomberg, you know, plays both sides.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, watch him because he's going hardcore. And also his ads are not only for the black voter, but they are taking on Trump.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our final topic. So, 45 delivered his State of the Union address. I made a decision not to watch it because I wanted to not get so upset that I wouldn't be able to sleep or rest or, you know, really just, I can't. And I was making a decision not to watch this as a political journalist of color, not as an act of boycott, but rather protecting my own mental health. And so, you know, some Democrats boycotted the speech entirely. Honestly, this is where, again, the Democrats, if you present a united front, why didn't you all just not go?
Yeah, that would have been powerful.
Pero por Dios, you know, do something like Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ayanna Pressley did not go. Others like Rashida Tlaib walked out mid-speech. But there was a moment, of course, that was the first thing I saw in the morning when I woke up, which was Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who then seated just behind Trump, basically ripped up his speech in half.
Right.
And, you know, Democrats were praising her. Of course, Republicans were like, oh, my God, this is so uncivil of her. Please.
Right. And even though that was a viral moment and that's what everyone talked about, it's important to mention as well that Pelosi and as well a lot of other Democrats, they actually stood up and clapped when Trump... He pointed out to Juan Guaido, who was a guest there, who's the opposition voice of Venezuela, because Trump quoted him as, quote, the true and legitimate president of Venezuela. It's complicated. We've talked about Venezuela. There are reports that Guaido lacks support, like in Venezuela anymore. And it was just fascinating to me to see Pelosi sort of that contrast. You know, she ripped up the speech at the end, but then she was standing up for a very controversial figure.
Exactly.
That, you know, it brings up some ugly memories of the United States in Latin America. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And it didn't end there, though, right?
She met with him. She met with him on Thursday, and also Guaido met with Trump as well at the White House on Wednesday. So Venezuela, complicated. My own cynical take, guys, and you guys can tweet at me. I really don't care. It's 2020. Trump needs votes in Florida. This looked good. It's clear that Venezuela is a bipartisan issue. But the other thing, Maria.
The other thing.
That's not the part that got me riled up. You know what got me riled up? Because I was texting our producer and you after.
This is why I couldn't. I was like, no.
Yeah, that's why you couldn't watch it. So I took one for the team in the name of POC journalism. I hope I get that acknowledgement. So I was watching this live. Trump giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. Are you fucking kidding me? The right-wing talk show radio host that's been around since the 80s. And this is the part where I'm going to be really honest with you. Like, I get it. I know he has advanced lung cancer. I get it, guys. But I actually got trolled. I'm in the Federalist as one of the people that criticized the Rush Limbaugh thing because how dare I bring this up because the man has advanced lung cancer. I get it, guys. He is sick. But at the same time, what has he done for the last 30, 40 years? The history of racist, sexist, anti-immigrant language.
Well, actually, the way we call it, thanks to people like Rush Limbaugh, we came up with a term for this. It's called hate speech. Right?
Yes, hate speech, right? So I live tweeted in the moment, hey guys, this is how white supremacy works. So now my tweet is in like the right-wing media circles. So I take that as a badge of honor. But the other takeaway for me that night, Maria, was the normalization of the so-called criminal migrant. It's so flipping clear how the mainstream media doesn't know how to handle this. And this is where I sit here and I'm like, I'm glad I did watch the State of the Union because it kind of reassured me and it confirmed to me, Maria, that the work that we do here at Futuro Media within The Thick, with Latino Rebels, with Latino USA, with all the projects that we do, that the basis of humanizing immigrants and humanizing the POC experience in this country matters. And I just want to take this moment to clearly differentiate ourselves in the media space. Because that is absolutely needed in the moment, Maria.
Well, that's why I didn't want to watch this because, you know, I have been on the ground recently, very much on the ground, reporting with the people who he is calling criminals. And so I feel bad and I might go back and watch Elements because I have to understand as I engage with people who are Trump supporters.
Yeah.
But that's exactly why watching Rush Limbaugh getting the Medal of Freedom, like Rosa Parks, like Jackie Robinson,
right?
You know, that it is being placed on the neck of Rush Limbaugh, who, you know, it's not just racist, it's sexist, it's homophobic, it's transphobic.
It's everything. He created Trump land.
And he helped to create this narrative. So
right.
I don't want to say anything negative towards him in terms of his health, but at the same time, yo, you spew so much hate. You have so much hate in you, which is, I think, part of the way we want to end the show this week, which is we're feeling like a lot of hate, a lot of motivation of hate, a lot of people, you know, is spewing hate, even the president, you know, spewing hate.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't want to be holding on to any of that hate, not right now. So that means, you know, taking care of ourselves and talking to each other and finding spaces for self-love and treating ourselves well, because what just happened, as I said to my students, this is history. We are all on the front lines of watching our democracy being challenged in the greatest way in modern history.
Yeah.
And so we need to hold on and be ready and be there for each other. And so I'm really thankful that we have in the fake. That's one thing I'm serious. I'm like, God, qué bueno de que tenemos in the fake, man.
Yeah, we need this outlet. I need it. I need to talk to you.
Because, you know, when this was happening with Reagan and when this was happening with Bush and when this was, you know, we didn't have this because, again, this is bad, but also corrupt American presidents. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
In the democracy of the United States of America. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Uno, dos, tres.
All right, now remember that you can listen to In the Thick on Pandora, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You want to also remember to rate and review us. Be that social media person. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. We have a good time there. Also, like us on Facebook. In the Thick is produced by Nicole Rothwell and Noor Saudi. Our audio engineers are Stephanie Laveau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our intern is Gal Arroyo. The music you heard is courtesy of Nacional Captain ZZK Records. We'll see you on our next episode, dear listener. Thank you so much for listening. Hasta la próxima. Bye.
On to New Hampshire.
What? No retracts?
Nice!
Because we are perfection. That's all
we
I'm going to say.
Perfect! Bye, Julio!
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.